Oh, I say that and then.
The Senate will please come to order.
Atkinson, Bates.
Call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Bates. Our invocation today is from Donna Henderson of Willamette University.
Since about May, I've been hearing the songs of the thrushes again in the woods behind my house south of Monmouth. So here's a little poem inspired by one. There is a loneliness. Listen some dusk to the varied thrush, keening its single, long, cool note. This is what the thrush has waited for all day, the busy light leaving, shadows slipping home from their exile. For the spacious silence that hears it answers. Lean ecstasy, you might have thought despair. Listen then to your own, that other loneliness that is our vast capacity. You thought it longed for filling. It longs to sing.
Thank you to Donna Henderson for that invocation, and also thank you to Senator Alan Bates for leading us in the pledge. Courtesies of the Senate. Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President, colleagues. As the Vice Chair of your Senate Human Services and Rural Policy Committee, and speaking for the members of that committee, which are myself, Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, Senator Joanne Verger, and Senator Chris Telfer, we would like to acknowledge the leadership and hard work and collaborative efforts during this session of the chair of the committee, Senator Bill Morissette. On a personal note, Senator Morissette and I have had a very good relationship for a very long time. I appreciate his hard work. I appreciate his willingness to be collaborative and to look at all sides and all views. And, Madam President, as a token of our appreciation, I want to present this plaque to Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Senator. Further courtesies? And in case it's escaped anyone's notice, today is Senator Peter Courtney's birthday, and I believe we have Senator Burdick and Senator Morse and perhaps Senator Ferrioli to lead us in singing Happy Birthday.
Come on, Ted, over here.
Yeah, right. birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Peter. Happy birthday to you.
Further courtesies. Remonstrances. Messages from the House.
Madam President, Secretary Speaker, he has signed House Bills 2014, 2105, 2107, 2139, 2144, 2199, 2217, 2233, 2252, 2369, 2424, 2475, 2506, 2529, 2564, 2585, 2589, 2618, 2629, 2636, 2744, 2817, 2962, 2987, 2999, 3085, 3116, 3139, 3151, 32, 34, 32, 95, 34, 18, 34, 62, 34, 89, HGM 10, 11, 22, House Senate Bills 124, 147, 299, 444, 538, 566, 763, and 972.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Without objection, Senate Bill 76 will move to the foot of today's calendar. Senator Devlin, did you wish to be recognized?
Yes, Madam President, colleagues. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus.
Senator Farioli?
Yes, Madam President, Republicans also request a 15-minute caucus off the floor.
The Senate will be in recess until 10, let's say 10:17. The Senate is in recess. Senate will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Perioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Mortz, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of propositions and motions and will resume under that order. So ordered. Second reading of House measures. We are recessed under propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Burdick.
Is this me? Okay. Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 495.
Senator Burdick moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 495.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 495 removes the exemption for three Washington consumer-owned utilities that are currently exempt from paying intangible property taxes for the use of a Bonneville Power Administration transmission line. This exemption was put into the law during the last session because of concerns over the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution. We since then have received opinions from legislative counsel and a private law firm in Portland that the Commerce Clause is not a problem. And in fact, with the exemption, the three out-of-state utilities actually enjoyed favorable treatment relative to Oregon utilities and Oregon consumer-owned utilities in terms of taxation policy. The Washington utilities affected by this benefit from Oregon services, maintenance of public ways, and protection by public safety services, criminal laws, and the courts. This is a fair policy. It'll put everybody on the same playing field in terms of the intertie, and I recommend an aye vote.
Discussion. Seeing none, Senator Burdick, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 495 will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin,
Devlin.
Senator Devlin, how do you vote?
Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, President Courtney, absent, Boquist, 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 495, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed.
There you go.
The President has appointed the following conferees to Senate Bill 274, Senator Przanski, Senator Whitsitt, and Senator Boquist. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5504, Defense Administration, Oregon Department of Aviation, Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Starr. Senator Starr, Senate Bill 5504.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 5504 is your Department of Aviation budget. The department operates 28 airports, registers approximately 4,200 aircraft, and 2,545 pilots. The department conducts aviation system planning and provides technical assistance on airport planning and development. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a budget of $6.78 million other funds, $970,000 federal funds, 17 positions, and 16.38 FTE. The budget includes assuming ownership of the Molino Airport from the Port of Portland for $1, authorizing a limited duration aviation operations specialist for 9 months, upgrading registration software, increasing aircraft registration fees estimated to generate $142,330 if House Bill 2149 passes, and increasing pilot registration fees estimated to generate $38,315 if House Bill 2150 passes. This fee increase will also support an increased transfer to the Oregon Military Department to support search and rescue programs. The committee also adopted two budget notes. The first budget note directs the department to report no later than March 2010 on its financial status, and the second directs the department and the Oregon Military Department to joint report on revenues from the pilot registration fees and changes made to the program delivery for search and rescue program. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5504 as amended. Colleagues, I'd like your attention.
Attention, senators, please.
I asked to carry this budget for a particular reason. Now, this is a little bit unusual. Thank you for your attention. I really appreciate it. It's a little bit unusual what I'm going to do. I don't know that it's ever been done. But I'm going to ask that we dedicate this particular budget at this particular time in Oregon's history to a young pilot. So, young pilot. It was a young pilot who operated out of the Hillsboro Airport. 39 years old, father of four, dedicated to his family, dedicated to his community. His name is Scott Resnick. He was an amazing, amazing man. Time and time again, would give of himself, of his own time, to his community, to his church, spent time going down to Mexico to help the poor down there. He loved life. He loved his family. He loved his church. He loved his community. And on a trip just about 3 weeks ago, crashed his airplane and died in Arizona, just north of Prescott, Arizona. And, you know, it's a little awkward, a little maybe out of the ordinary to potentially dedicate a budget bill dealing with the Department of Aviation to a particular individual and memorialize them in this way. And I understand if for reasons, I'm not expecting a unanimous vote or anything like that. But I just wanted to highlight Scott Resnick and the kind of man that he was on the Senate floor at this particular time. Oregon, I believe, and Oregon aviation will be set back. There's a loss. There's a hole, particularly at the Hillsboro Airport, because of this tragic accident that occurred. I appreciate your attention, and I'd urge an aye vote on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
I ran this agency from 1993 to 1998. My husband is in the aviation business at a publicly owned airport that receives federal and state grants. And as aircraft owners and pilots, my husband and I are subject to regulation by this agency.
Potential conflict is noted for the record. Further discussion, Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you. I rise for a potential conflict of interest.
State your conflict, please.
My daughter is a licensed pilot, and her significant other is a licensed pilot, also a helicopter pilot who works for a company in Grants Pass.
Conflict is noted for the record. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Starr, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5504A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney. Excuse. Boquist. Burdick. 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 5504, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5521, Defense Administration, Department of Environmental Quality, Appropriate Money, Current Emergency.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Listen up, folks who don't like the DEQ. Senate Bill 5521 is the budget bill for the Department of Environmental Quality. The Department of Environmental Quality administers the state's laws regulating air, water, and land pollution. The department also manages the federally delegated Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, and administers the state environmental programs in the areas of solid waste management, recycling, groundwater protection, and environmental cleanup, all so you can have clean water, clean air, and clean garbage. The recommended budget for the department is $407 million all funds. The budget includes $34 million general fund, $5.6 million lottery funds, $141.7 million other funds, and $36.6 million federal funds. The budget total also includes almost $190 million of non-limited other funds for Clean Water State Revolving Fund loan activities and debt service. The general fund budget is 15.7% below the essential budget level. Let me repeat that. 15.7% below the essential budget level. Reductions in air quality include reducing payments to the Lane Regional Air Pollution Authority, which is located in my county, eliminating one background air toxics monitor site, eliminating Oregon's support for the multi-state regional air quality modeling center, and reducing some enforcement work shared with other programs. General fund reductions in the water quality program include eliminating the biomonitoring program, as well as reducing water quality enforcement, communications, outreach, and program support. The budget also reduces some of the general fund enhancements made to the stormwater permitting program last session. Land quality program reductions include reductions to hazardous waste compliance inspections, management, enforcement, and technical assistance. Reductions are also made to agency management due to reductions in other programs. These reductions include eliminating three support staff and positions coordinating agency-wide grants, performance measures, and policy and strategy coordination. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5521 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam President. I just rise to declare a potential conflict of interest.
State your conflict, please.
My husband is an employee of the Department of Environmental Quality.
Potential conflict is noted for the record. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Walker, do you wish to close? She does not. Senator Devlin asks for a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Lori Montes Anderson and Senator Vicki Walker. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
All members are present. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5521A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Moniz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett. 19 ayes.
Senate Bill 5521, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5523, Financial Administration of Oregon Government, the next commission, covering money court emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senate Bill 5523 is the budget bill for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. The agency regulates activities of lobbyists and ethics of public officials, that's you and I and others, and enforces the executive session provision of the state's public meetings law. It also conducts education sessions for public officials and lobbyists. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a budget of $260,658 in general fund, $1,446,618 in other funds, and 8 full-time equivalent positions. The budget is 24% increase from the essential budget level, but general fund support is reduced by 50%. The agency is transitioning to an assessment-based funding mechanism and will have no general fund included in the budget starting in the 2011-13 biennium. The committee approved the continuation of a limited duration administrative support position initially authorized by the emergency board in June 2008 and approved an additional trainer position for the 2009-11 biennium, also limited duration. The committee approved the addition of 3 key performance measures and the deletion of 7 existing measures and 2 proposed measures. The new measures are composite measures, one of which will include elements of 4 of the deleted measures on meeting statutory timeliness. The committee revised the language of one of these composite measures and also directed the agency to follow reporting requirements during the 2009-11 biennium. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends passage of Senate Bill 5523 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Seeing none, the question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5523A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson. Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson.
No.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
No.
George. Girard. Haas.
Aye.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Telfer. 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 5523A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next. Senator Whitsett, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam President. Return to your remonstrance, please.
Senator Whitsett requests unanimous consent to return to the order of remonstrances. Without objection, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, today on the President's birthday, he assigned a conference committee for Senate Bill 274. On that committee is will work on a bill that I introduced in the Senate. What makes that different than most conference committees is today that committee has two Republicans and one Democrat. Colleagues, we talk a great deal about bipartisanship in this building. And today, I believe that the Senate President not only talked the talk, he walked the walk. And I thank him for his bipartisan leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remonstrances, recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. I thought I would take the opportunity, because we did return to remonstrances, and almost a point of personal privilege to state that, contrary to the evidence and how it may appear, I have not changed parties.
Thank you for clarifying that, Senator Cruz. Further remonstrances, recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too wished to speak earlier, but didn't take the opportunity to mention that Wilbur Ternak, who is a former mayor of Florence, former port commissioner of Florence, longtime resident, born in Astoria, a direct descendant of the chief who welcomed Lewis and Clark to Oregon, to that part of the country. There's a statue in the Galleria of Wilbur. Senator Mark Hatfield praises him for the work that he has done on the coast. He is going to be recognized at 2:00 today by the Coastal Caucus and others. And Wilbur is a friend of mine. And when I was Mayor Springfield and met in Florence at one point as part of the Lane Council of Governments, Wilbur and Ano Husing talked about the tsunami, the big one that's going to hit the Oregon coast at some point. And that really piqued my interest. And it is going to happen, 9.2. So in 2001, actually it was in 99, but 2001, I started to introduce the tsunami warning bill, which did pass. And we have since become aware of the dangers that will happen at some point, and in some cities they're even relocating some of the schools to higher ground. And I thank Wilbur for doing this. He's the one who really started us talking about that eventual happening. It will not only do major damage on the coast, but there's a big guy standing up there on top of the dome that may come right through this building, because we'll have a 6.5 probably in the valley, and bridges will tumble and so on.
I'm sorry, Senator, but your time
It will happen at some point. So I want to recognize Wilbur Ternak. He'll be in the Galleria at 2:00 today, and I urge that you stop by and say hello. Thank you.
Further remonstrances? turn to the order of third reading of Senate measures, and the clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5524, measures to Office of the Governor, Republic of Maryland, Court of Emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senate Bill 5524 is the budget bill for the Office of the Governor. The Subcommittee on Your Full Ways and Means approved a total budget of $17,323,160.71 or 66 FTEs. The general fund budget is 6.2% less than the 2007 legislative adopted budget. The subcommittee recommends a 13% reduction from the essential budget level for general fund and lottery funds. This is the amount targeted by the co-chairs of Ways and Means. Reductions include the expectation that the agency will have increased vacancy savings, additional salary reductions, and reductions to services and supplies. Other funds expenditures are increased by $1.5 million and 10%, 10 positions, 5 FTEs for the establishment of the Governor's Economic Recovery Executive Team. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act requires all states to create an oversight group to monitor and report on federal stimulus funds. The budget funds the group for the first 12 months of the biennium, with the expectation that the agency will report to the legislature on the status of ARRA funds and the need for funding the team in the second half of the 2009-11 biennium. The committee approved 5 key performance measures for the agency. Your Ways and Means Committee recommends a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Senator Farrioli.
Thank you, Madam President. And although I sincerely appreciate the hard work of the Ways and Means Committee on this budget, I just wanted to point out a couple of salient factors. One is that this budget goes from 62 to 71 FTE. Another is that we are actually authorizing $17 million in expenditures, which to me appears to be a 3.4% increase. And the increase actually comes from a shifting of other funds into the governor's office, which repeats a pattern that we've seen time and time again in state government. When general fund monies diminish, the other fund dollars increase significantly. And my problem with the other fund dollars is that they are not closely scrutinized by legislators. There's really less oversight because these other fund revenues seem to sort of be free running. And I'll point out, Madam President, in 1997, during my first term of office, the 1997-1999 actual expenditure for the governor's office was just under $6 million. So in a short period of 12 years, we've gone from $6 to $17 million in the governor's office. It just shows me that the real problem in state government is that leadership doesn't take a lead role in reducing the cost of government. And the governor's set a pattern of excess spending, and we are enabling that process to continue by giving the governor other fund access and free rein to $17 million and FTEs of 71. It just seems to me, Mr. President, that until the chief executive sets the tone for solving our spending problem in Oregon, we're simply going to continue to have a spending problem. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Winters, do you wish to close?
Thank you. Just a point of clarity. Some of the other funds are transfers from the Department of Administrative Service and Consumer and Business Services. These transfers finance the affirmative action and minority women and emerging businesses. There's also the funds that are used for economic revitalization team and the position in, and there are also funds that are grants for the Office of Rural Policy. And the increase in positions was due to the stimulus dollars, and I think I mentioned that in my comments. and they are the ARR funds because states have to actually monitor and make certain that as the stimulus money flows through, both from the point of making the grant application to the end of the evaluation, and so that's actually being tracked out of the governor's office.
Thank you. The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5524A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 5524, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5537, Pension Administration Office of Private Health Partnerships, Permanent Income Emergency.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 5537 is the budget bill for the Office of Private Health Partnerships, or OPHP. The 2009-11 budget of $144.7 million total funds includes $21.5 million of general fund and $123.2 million of other funds. While a modest amount of general fund in the OPH budget is used to support the Information Education Outreach Program, most of it is used to support OPHP's Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, commonly known as FEOP. This program provides premium subsidies for low-income individuals and groups who want to purchase commercial health insurance. This budget reduces the agency's general fund by about 18% below the essential budget level. The other fund's expenditure limitation, the budget is supported with about $647,000 miscellaneous funds, $22.6 million of premium tax revenue generated by House Bill 2116, and $100 million of federal funds that are transferred from the Department of Human Services to OPHP, where these resources are spent as other funds. Despite the reduction of general fund, the total fund's budget is 68% higher than the essential budget level. The increase is the result of adding premium tax and matching federal funds from DHS to support the Health Care for All Oregon Children program. The OPHP portion of the program will provide premium subsidies to eligible families to help them purchase commercial health insurance coverage for their children. The budget anticipates the OPHP program will serve nearly 34,000 children by the end of the 2009-11 biennium. OPHP is directed to work with the Legislative Fiscal Office, the Department of Administrative Services, Budget and Management Division, the Health Services Commission, and other appropriate stakeholders to develop key performance measures for the OPHP share of the Health Care for All Oregon Children program, as well as a measure for access to care for adults in the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5537. Colleagues, this is the bill that opens up low-cost commercial insurance to ensure that every child in Oregon has health insurance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion? If not, the question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5537A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Farioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 5537A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5541, Financial Administration Secretary of State, Department of Money, Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters. Recognize Senator Jackie Winters. Senator Winters, Senate Bill 5541A.
Madam President, this is the bill for the Secretary of State's office. Very, very good bill. The Secretary of State is one of the three constitutional offices established at statehood. The Secretary of State has an audit of public accounts responsibility. She's the chief election officer and manager of the state records, a role that includes preserving official acts of the Legislative Assembly. Your Joint Ways and Means Committee approved a total funds budget for... of $55,229,941 and positions of 194, FTEs of 193.30. And we also approved some of their policy package, Madam Chair, and the overall recommendation, we eliminated four positions, and we also reduced their budget at 12.2% below the 2007-09 approved budget and 2.7% below the total essential budget level. Madam President, I recommend approval of the Secretary of State's budget.
Thank you, Senator
and
Winters.
And I'm losing my voice.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Discussion. Seeing none, the question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5541. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist.
Senator Boquist.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather. Farioli. George. Girard. Pass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson. George. Cruz. Starr. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 5541A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5542, Limited Pension Administration, Department of State Lands, Property Money, and Claim Emergency.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 5542 is a budget bill for the Department of State Lands. Provides administrative support to the State Land Board, which is responsible for the management of the common school fund assets. It also is responsible for programs such as removal, fill, and wetlands, and manages the South Slough National Estuarine Research Reserve and provides support to the National Heritage Advisory Council. Ways and Means approved a total budget of $32.7 million and 108.46 full-time positions. With this total budget, 241,741 General fund is shifted to other fund resources. Other funds expenditures increased $4 million, and federal fund expenditures increased $3.6 million from the 2009 essential budget level. The committee also approved $94.5 million revenue distribution from the Common School Fund to the Department of Education, which is an increase of $54.6 million from the proposed budget, partially a result from a recent decision by the Land Board to change the distribution formula, and partially to reflect the co-chair budget plan for K-12. The committee approves restoration of 14 limited-duration positions, making 11 permanent that are paid for by other agencies from ongoing federal funds and the Wetland Mitigation Revolving Bank Fund. The permanent positions provide work related to the removal fill permit, mapping program, wetland mitigation restoration, and the operation of the South Slough. Approved budget adds 3 permanent positions, 1 to manage land and waterway leases, which is expected to increase revenue for the Common School Fund, 1 accounting position financed from savings generated by internal management actions, and a position for GIS mapping on the removal fill permit program. It also provides $1.3 million other funds for C4 mapping and $1 million revenue transfer to the Oregon Department of Revenue for marine reserve projects funded by the funds remaining from the removal of the new Carissa. Means basic support for the National Heritage Program and continues current programs at the South Slough. We approved the recommendation of 18 performance measures. The Senate committee, or the full Ways and Means, recommended this Senate Bill 5542 be approved. Thank you.
Discussion. Seeing none, the question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5542. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader, President Courtney, not answering, Burdick, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Starr, 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 5542A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 513, Ecosystems Declare Emergency.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 513 directs the Sustainability Board to convene an ecosystem service net market work group, markets work group, to study and propose a overarching goals relating to ecosystem services market and to report recommendations to the next legislative century, next legislative assembly by January 1st, 2011. The Oregon Water Board Enhancement Board will provide staffing to the work group with funding provided by a grant from research non-capital funds, Measure 66 lottery funds. The grant, which is contingent upon passage of this bill, will provide funding within OEB for a 0.4 FTE that would be dedicated to implementation of the bill. The total funds provided will be $118,331. The Joint Committee recommends Senate Bill 513B as amended.
Discussion. Seeing none, the question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 513. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader, Starr, President Courtney. President Courtney. Voting no, Farioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Starr, 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 513, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 574, the Education Service Districts.
Recognize Senator Mark Haas.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill before you today does two things. It consolidates educational service districts, reducing the number from 20 to 13, and it makes ESD boards appointed rather than elected. And that's really it. The rest of the bill is technical implementing language that deals with assimilating collective bargaining agreements and units and keeping the funding formula constant. What this measure really does, though, is eliminate seven layers of administration in our K-12 system. That means seven fewer superintendents, fewer deputy superintendents, fewer finance officers, HR directors, payroll specialists, accounting systems, car allowances, all of the administration in our educational system that we always say we want to cut. Because for every superintendent who will be reassigned or forced into retirement, we'll be able to hire three special needs instructors. For every finance officer, we'll be able to hire three speech pathologists. We can eliminate those car allowances for administrators and give frontline ESD teachers the travel money they need to go from school to school. That was the original intent of ESDs, for smaller schools to pool their resources, and this bill is the first step to moving us closer to that goal. The map and boundary lines of this realignment did not come out of thin air. In fact, you may be surprised to know that it came from the ESD Association. That's right, it came from the ESD Association, which voted 12-4 to support this consolidation. I might have done that math differently, you might have done it differently, but this was the way they wanted to do consolidation, and so this is their map, not ours. Appointed boards instead of elected boards did not come out of thin air either. 4 years ago, the legislature initiated a pilot project for three ESDs in Oregon to have their boards appointed. High Desert in Deschutes County, Northwest Regional in my area, Northwest Oregon, and Willamette ESD here in Salem. Those three ESDs reported to the legislature stunning success. The new boards are more accountable, more responsive, and more efficient. County governments in those areas also said it saved hundreds of thousands of dollars in election costs. Those savings will dramatically increase with this bill. This idea of governance has been tested, tried, and proven successful. Now, every session I've been at the Capitol anyway, we've always had ESD bills asking for small changes, technical changes. And I'm certain that won't change. If the implementation in this bill requires those kinds of changes, we will do that next session, just like we make those kinds of changes in every session. So, colleagues, this is exactly what our constituents have been asking for when it comes to education. Cut administration and put money into the classrooms. I cannot imagine another bill that hits that request on the mark more than this one.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, this bill misses the mark by a wide, wide, wide margin. Madam President, I'm not necessarily opposed to consolidation, but it has to be done in a more reasonable approach. The way this map came about was there was a meeting, the ESDs were called in and says, you have 10 days to draw a map. That was it. 10 days later, they came back with a map they didn't like. The good carrier of this bill talked about the work we did 4 years ago to create the pilot projects for the new ESD governance structure. I was I headed up that work group, and it took us months of very detailed meetings with all parties at the table to come up with the concept of a pilot for three ESDs. But what we have here is, in a matter of 1.5 meetings, we are completely redrawing the map for the state. It makes no sense. It will save very little, if any, money, in my opinion. It's not going to close down too much. You may lose a superintendent here or there, but you get to the small ESDs on the east side, those superintendents make very little money. And usually that's only part of their job. In reality, all of the field offices will have to stay open, quite simply because of the logistics and the time and the distance that is necessary to travel to deliver the services. Colleagues, one of the consolidations is Douglas ESD and Southwest ESD, both about the same size, covering three counties. Douglas, obviously Douglas County, and Southwest, Coos and Curry. The interesting part is that their service delivery models are completely different. So if we're going to do that sort of consolidation, shouldn't we have front-end planning for getting to that sort of business model? Madam President, I don't think we're even really looking at what ESDs need to look like in the future as we're redrawing this map. To say that by redrawing the map we have accomplished something, I don't think we have. I think we've been very short-sighted in this. I've invested a lot of time in this process and learning the ins and outs of ESDs and the work they do. And the work they do is valuable. There's no question about that, and that work needs to continue. I advocated that the concept behind this bill was good, but we needed to spend more time, go into more detail, and really determine what an appropriate business plan was before we redrew the map. I drew a map in committee, and I based my map on an entirely different set of criteria. My map makes perfect sense to me. Okay? But I would also submit that my map isn't necessarily the right map either. I've had other folks in the ESDs suggest an entirely different map that would actually have less ESDs but different configurations. There's some merit in those, too. To say there's a magic bullet and this is it is absolutely wrong. Colleagues, ESDs have been a target for a long time in this building. There have been bills over the years to eliminate them. There have been bills to do a lot of things to them. But I would submit, Madam President, that part of the problem is a significant portion of the Legislative Assembly has no ideas what ESDs really do. And I would also submit that a large portion of the population of the state of Oregon has no ideas what ESDs do. Colleagues, to do something on this scale with this much significance in two meetings is not good public policy. This is not the deliberative way we get to decisions. I urge you to reject this bill and allow us to do a more deliberative process, because I truly believe that if we do, we can bring back a proposal that will be fully supported in February. Madam President, I urge a no vote on Senate Bill 574.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will support this bill, but I have some misgivings, and Senator from Southwest Oregon expressed a number of those misgivings. I've been involved over the years in the discussion of the ESDs. I taught school at Springfield for almost 30 years and know firsthand the value of the ESDs. We're closing the school for the blind. Guess who will deal with those students when they're mainstreamed? It will be the ESD. They will provide staff, and it's easy to do in Lane County, but it's not so easy to do in Mount Hure. Of course, most of those students for the blind are from the Valley, but the point is ESDs provide an extremely valuable service, the service that districts cannot afford to provide themselves. Now, the metro districts, and I, you know, there are two sides to this. There's the rural side and there's the urban side, and the people who are introducing this bill are from the urban side, and I'm not sure that they understand the rural side of it. They do, but I don't know that there is enough thought given to the inequities that I think are going to occur. Now, I will support the bill, but I know this is a midway point. We've discussed this over time. I know this will come back, and there will be some adjustments made, I'm sure. I know there's a lot of time, a lot of effort put into this, and I don't mean to say they don't understand the rural, but their personal experience is not rural. There are two things that I think are important to rural Oregon, and one of them is education, and the other one is health care and education. A big part of education is transportation. Now, transportation in terms of distances that EST people will have to travel, transportation as far as students, they're a different set of problems. And in all fairness to rural Oregon, I think there needs to be a more equitable, and I know there will be a disagreement with this, distribution, particularly with the ESD situation. But I will support the bill. Thank you, ma'am.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Geez, I was just telling Alex here, I said, geez, I better take a few deep breaths because the information brought by the carrier is absolutely not true. So I get angry. You want to listen to it? I'm angry. When are we going to find some backbone in this body and we have a bad bill, vote against it? This is an absolutely cruddy bill. Okay, I'll take a deep breath and try and be a little bit nicer about all this. Put things in perspective. The superintendent of one larger ESD in the state of Oregon, one large ESD in Northwest Oregon someplace, makes $33,000 more, that one person, than three of the superintendents of the ESDs in my part of the country. So you got one person who's making $35,000 more. I mean, that's where the cost savings are. What we're doing with this bill is we're hurting kids. And I've got a whole bunch of other things here I could go on there, but I'm so darn angry about this bill that I better sit down and shut up before I get in trouble. Thank you.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the comments of my colleague from Pendleton. They're very heartfelt. I was uncertain about this bill. I voted yes in Joint Committee on Ways and Means, but with the caveat that I was uncertain. I have concerns about the impact on our rural districts, and I still do. That has not escaped my attention. And time and distance is an issue for me, Senator, as you so artfully explained in committee. And I like the governance structure. The good senator and I from Southwestern Oregon worked on that piece. It has done well. Some people were pretty angry about us taking away their God-given right to be elected, but it actually allowed school districts to feel that the ESDs were more representative of the things that they were trying to get the ESDs to do for them. However, the decision point for me came this morning. I attended the School for the Blind Board of Directors last meeting today. It's their last meeting because you all decided to close the School for the Blind. So I met with the board, and it was really a compelling meeting. They talked about, you know, this board has been really incredible. It's been collaborative. It's of the blind, for the blind. You know, we have really moved forward, but somehow the legislature didn't see that we had a plan and a vision. And so I made the comment that, you know, the problem is that we are now going to set you up in a regional program with an ESD. We have asked, or the comment on the floor was, it would probably be Willamette ESD who is going to hold this regional program in its jurisdiction and administer it.
I am telling you that if you pass this bill on top of what we did to the School for the Blind, you've got a mess, because these people are going to have to reorganize, and then they're going to have to make sure the services to these blind and visually impaired students are going to continue as they have expected and have experienced at the School for the Blind. I cannot in good conscience do that. I think that is too big of a project right now if you're going to reorganize them. And so based on the decision to close the School for the Blind, it has now influenced how I feel about this bill today. I can't support it. I can't support it for what it does to rural Oregon, and I cannot support it for what it will do to those children who are leaving the School for the Blind.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank the committee for their work on this bill, and I certainly appreciate the effort to reduce administrative costs. We all should be championing that that purpose. But two of the ESDs to be combined are the Lake County and the Harney County SESDs. That encompasses probably 25% of the land mass of Oregon into one single ESD. The distances in that part of Oregon are not considered in miles. They're considered in hours. And in inclement weather, they're considered in days, colleagues, in days. So I don't see how a single ESD can serve the school children of that district in any reasonable fashion. The two that are being combined are having difficulty reaching the outlying areas of their county or their district now. So when you put the two together, either there's going to be no savings and they're going to continue to run them just as they are, or they're going to, the distance are going to be so far that the kids are simply not going to get the services. I think that some consolidation is a good thing, but I think, to me, we need to be looking more, of course, at the urban areas where the services are probably duplicated, as opposed to the rural areas where they are critical to the maintenance of the school efforts. So I'll be a no on this. Thank you.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Ted Farioli.
Well, thank you, Madam President. You know, this is a little bit of deja vu for me, because we've discussed this issue and decided this issue in many different legislative sessions. Matter of fact, somebody has the epiphany that we need to consolidate ESDs every session. And every session we come to the same point. Normally we come to this point in committee. Normally this bill doesn't get out of committee. The reason it doesn't get out of committee is that there are no cost savings associated with changing the name of the central location of the ESD. And that's what the bill does. You know, you can draw all kinds of circles on the maps and you can change the boundaries. But the children that need the ESD services are the same in number before the changes after. And the miles between the service provider and those children are exactly the same miles. And all the same services are going to be needed in all the same locations that they're currently needed. And our good colleague from Eugene pointed out that with the closure of the School for the Blind, there will be more services needed in more locations. But colleagues, just take a look at the map you were provided in your packet with this bill. One of the consolidations adds Multnomah County to Hood River, parts of Sherman County, and parts of Wasco County. And so the administration of the ESD services is going to occur in Multnomah County, in the brand new ESD building that was built in Multnomah County. But the services that are going to be delivered out in Tie Valley are still going to require somebody to get physically in a car and drive the distance to deliver the services. And instead of having the administrators for the programs in proximity to the locations where the services are delivered, so that quality control can be accomplished, so that interactions can take place between school district administrators and parents and the served population, so that the services are overseen in the way that they're supposed to be overseen, those things won't happen. And they won't happen because the folks in the Multnomah office can always say to themselves and others, well, you know, there's pressing duties here, and I'm not going to spend 3 hours in a car one way to go look at a program that serves one or two kids. I'll delegate. And whomever is the delegee also delegates, and it delegates down to no responsibility at all. Now, the ESDs happen to be located in communities where the parents are very, very connected to the school districts and very connected to the accountability models that we expect parents to use to make sure their kids get the services that they need. What we're doing is centralization. What we're doing is increasing the distance between the people that are served and the decision makers who make the decisions to provide the services. And it's just exactly the wrong thing to do. Again. Madam President, let me, if I may have permission, to read a couple of lines from an email I received from a teacher and an administrator in my district. I will just be brief in this commentary. Do I have your permission, Madam President?
Please go ahead.
Quote, I firmly believe that for all the reasons that I've spoken to, and many more, SB 574A is very problematic, to say the least. It's bad for kids, it's bad for employees, it's bad for rural communities, and it's bad for taxpayers. I grew up in Bend when it was a small community. My parents were teachers in Bend for 30 years. For the past 12 years, I've been a teacher, and I've been a school district administrator. My family and I have talked about this bill in length, and we agree it is a terrible idea. I have two young children, and I live in a rural community. I work with children every day, and I know that this bill will adversely affect the clients that I serve. I am and always have been a staunch Democrat in the voting booth. For the first time, I find myself strongly opposed to the Democrats and their push for the forced consolidation of ESDs. I am ashamed at the politics behind this and at the push forward of a bad bill without doing a thorough job of researching the facts before moving to a vote. As an educational professional, I'm a huge believer in research. Schools must now use research to drive their decisions about how to educate students. Why don't politicians have to do research as well? It should be mandatory before expending taxpayer dollars. I strongly urge you to keep your rural constituents in mind and vote against SB 574A. Madam President, I don't think I could have said what this teacher, what this educator, what this inheritor of a history and a family tradition of education has just said. This bill really hurts kids. It saves nothing, and it increases the distance between those that need the services and those that will administer the programs. Madam President, I beg the body to reject this bad bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Jason Atkinson yielded time. Further discussion, recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you very much. At the beginning of the session, the good senator from Beaverton was assigned to chair the Education Committee, and I was assigned to chair the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means. And immediately, members from both parties came to us and said, you need to look at ESDs. There's a lot of waste there. There's a need for a better delivery of services so that more of the money that flows to ESDs goes to direct services to kids. And so the good senator from Beaverton held many, many hearings and many, many private meetings with the ESD Association, with others, took hours and hours of testimony, and passed a bill over to the Ways and Means Committee. And the Ways and Means Committee held many, many hearings and listened to folks and called in superintendents and officials from rural, the most rural ESDs. They came in and they talked to us. And they talked to us about what they needed, and they talked to us about what they did. And they talked to us about the delivery of services in rural areas. And the good senator from Beaverton's commitment and my commitment all along, and I said it over and over, was that in reforming ESDs, we were going to protect services and improve services to the rural areas because that's where ESDs are needed the most. We really believe that, and I believe that this bill does that. This bill will protect the funding for the ESDs at its current level, and in fact, by cutting administrative costs, will deliver more direct services to the students that rely on them, especially in the small rural school districts. Now, many of the services that are provided, of course, are direct services, and in areas where distances are great, it does require some travel. But also many of the services are online services, bookkeeping services, payroll services, all of which can be done online and are not restricted by the distances involved. If you look at the current ESDs, the 20 that we have now, and by the way, with twice the population in Washington, they have 9. If you look at the current ESDs, there are already, you know, distances and travel. And, for example, good Senator Whitsitt is in Klamath Falls. His ESD is headquartered over in the Bend area, over in the Medford area, across the Cascades. In the winter, crossing the Cascades is problematic. So there are distance problems with the current configuration of ESDs. Now let's talk about what happened. The good senator from Beaverton could very easily have drawn a map, or he could have drawn 3 or 4 maps. Probably every member of his committee could have drawn a different map. Instead, he chose to let the people that are closest to the problem, those people that actually operate the ESDs, to draw the map. Is it perfect? Of course not. Would any map be perfect? Of course not. But if we're going to consolidate ESDs into a more reasonable number, then somebody's going to have to do it. Now, will this 13 be carved in stone? Will there ever be any changes? Probably. This is a 2-year period of phasing in. During that 2-year period, we may determine that there need to be alterations. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if we're ever going to have any reform of ESDs, we have to start someplace. And the good senator from Beaverton and I have worked very hard on this all session. This bill passed out of the Ways and Means Subcommittee with a unanimous vote. All Republican and Democratic members of that committee voted to pass it out after hearing the evidence that it's needed. Is it the end all for ESDs? Absolutely not. The good senator from Beaverton and I have already talked about the next step for reform, especially in the urban areas where we know there is waste and we know there can be savings. So please, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want to have any reform, this is the place to start. Can we change this if parts of it don't work? Of course. Let me speak briefly to the governance model. This is a governance model that's been tried and tested already in 3 of the ESDs, one in Central Oregon, one in Northwest, and one in the Valley. The governance model works better than the current model because it ties the ESD more directly to the local school districts that they represent. The local school districts actually pick 5 of the ESD commissioners, and those 5 select 4 more representing business and labor and other activities in that particular community. By tying the ESDs, the ESD commission, more directly to the local school districts, there'll be a closer working relationship there. What's the current system? Current system is that a discredited sheriff from Multnomah County is now on the Multnomah County ESD, because in most cases those elections are unopposed, and anybody that wants to sign up in the last minute can be on the ESD board, make decisions for our children. I don't think that's the best system. The appointment system makes sense, and that's a major part of this reform that's being brought to you today by the good senator from Beaverton. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. And Senator Montes Anderson yielded time. Further discussion? Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I hadn't really intended to speak on this bill. In fact, I really don't have a dog in this fight as it relates to my current ESD. It basically stays the way it is, and talking to my school districts, it seems to work pretty well. But I'm concerned by the debate on the floor this morning. I'm concerned about what I see is a bill that really is dividing us. And that's unfortunate that we have a bill here on the floor where you have legislators who represent rural parts of our state passionate. I've rarely seen the senator from Pendleton with as much passion as I've seen this morning on this particular issue. And, you know, this issue of dividing Oregon based on its east-west, rural-urban kind of policies, I think is unfortunate and damaging. Notwithstanding the good work of the senator from Mid-Multnomah County and the senator from Beaverton, based on the debate I see on this Senate floor today, we haven't quite hit the mark yet, I don't believe, as it relates to this particular bill. And, again, I came to the floor basically thinking that I would support this bill. I do believe that there are some savings that we ought to incur in the ESD system. And, I think that how we manage and work with ESDs in Oregon ought to be looked at very closely. But when I come to the Senate floor and I see the kind of passion that I've seen this morning, I see the Senate floor really, as senators representing our constituents, divided as it relates to the territory that we represent. That concerns me, and I hope it would concern all of us. I hope that it would concern all of us. So with that, I'm going to vote no on this particular bill, and I'd ask that you would consider a no vote as well. Out of respect for our colleagues here on the Senate floor who have exhibited an inordinate amount of passion, who have, I believe, their constituents' best interests at heart. Again, this isn't a partisan fight. It seems to me to be a territorial or a rural-urban kind of disagreement. We ought to do better. Colleagues, we ought to do better than bring bills to the floor where you have such passionate and vehement opposition from particular regions of our state. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I too rise with some trepidation about speaking on this bill. I think that the intent of my good friend and colleague, the Senator from Raleigh Hills, is admirable. I think there is a larger issue here. I was prepared to vote no on this bill because I was concerned that if by making a small step, it's been my experience that we make small steps and call them reform, and then nothing actually ever gets done. And so I actually came to this conclusion about the bill not by the nature of the policy of making a first step, but thinking that a first step in our very short-term thinking model of doing Oregon politics never really leads to long-term results. But my concern, in conjunction with many other senators from rural parts of Oregon, refers me to an experience that this body had many sessions ago that took place in my favorite town in Oregon. Now, a senator that represents a fairly large district like mine probably gets in a lot of danger by saying a favorite town, let alone a favorite town that is not in his or her district. But one of my favorite towns, if not my favorite town in Oregon, is a town called Plush. I spend a lot of time in Plush. I know a lot of people in Plush. I love the kids in Plush. And it was years ago that we had a similar debate on the floor. The similar debate was on streamlining rural school districts. And in that, much of the same logic was used as been used today in streamlining ESDs was made to streamline rural districts. and a good senator at the time, who's no longer serving, who is a friend of mine also, thought that the word plush was a typo that his staff had made on the speech that they were giving. And in the word plush, which they thought was a typo, was a bus service that clearly was a typo, clearly was an administrative mess-up, and that the school bus service needed to be closed in plush. And I have to tell you, it rubbed me the wrong way. It rubbed me the wrong way because I was just in plush and took a picture of the school and knew some of the kids, one that had an extreme handicap that needed a special attention. And it was that little school that had one bus between the elementary school in Plush, Oregon, and another town in Adel. And the kids in Adel who went to the plush school jumped on the bus and went to Plush, and the kids that went to the middle school from Plush jumped on the same school bus and went to Adel. The school bus, one school bus, went both routes twice a day. And it, in my mind and in the mind after my speech, was the policy of this floor to save that school bus. Now, did it make cost sense? Actually, no, it didn't. Was it fair? Oftentimes, we always hear, we haven't heard too much this session, but in past sessions, it is that the Portland taxpayer upholds the rest of the state, and it's the Portland taxpayer that demands higher schools, better schools and better school opportunities, even at the expense of all those in rural Oregon that don't pay for it. Well, I have to tell you, there's a handicapped kid in Plush, Oregon, that deserves exactly what other students in other parts of the state deserve. When we get to the larger issues of ESD, that same thing happens. I am concerned for long-term policy-making decisions that we make reforms that actually reflect all of Oregon for the long term. Here's what we know, colleagues. Here's some very uncomfortable truths. In the last 10 years, education spending's gone up $1 billion. Yet by the time we get home from session, all the advocates will say that this body cut education. It's the politics. It's certainly not the truth. We know that administrative costs have increased, but we're going to go home and find out that all the advocates are going to say that it's a cut. That's the politics. It's certainly not the truth. And when we come to ESDs, we do know that there are some children that do need a special extra hand. That remains the truth. And I'm not sure that Senate Bill 574 gets us out of the politics.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Hess, do you wish to close?
Yes, Madam President. In 2003, at the Willamette ESD, a superintendent was allowed to keep the ESD Lincoln Town Car he was provided after he retired. In 2004, at the Northwest Regional ESD, the superintendent was forced out after it was revealed he used a district credit card for personal expenses. In 2004, in Union County, the ESD purchased an airplane. There was a fraud investigation, overtime abuse, and in 2005, grand jury indictments from that investigation. Last year, 2008, Multnomah County ESD, Department of Education audit finds questionable spending practices in procurement methods. This is what we are trying to reform. This bill is the first step. I do want to address some of the points that were raised. To the good senator from the Roseburg area, I, with all due respect, he is grossly inaccurate in the number of meetings and workgroup sessions. There were many more than two. He only attended two. I wish he could have attended more. He may have felt differently if he had. In addition to those workgroup meetings and teleconferences, there was, as you'll see in your packet, the public hearing history, the work session history in two committees, in the Education Committee and Ways and Means. There was the analysis. There was the research. There was give and take. There were things taken out of this bill that I disagreed with. There were things put in that I would rather have not seen, all to try to get to a compromise to make this a reasonable proposition. So this is what we're trying to reform, a top-heavy bureaucracy that I think has lost its way. The majority of people in our ESDs are good, very hardworking educators. Unfortunately, this relatively obscure part of our educational system has also been marked with celebrated stories of mismanagement, questionable spending, and bureaucratic bumbling. This bill is a product of thoughtful work and cooperation with the stakeholders, the ESDs themselves. And ultimately, this effort will deliver efficiency and a better product for students and taxpayers of Oregon.
Senator Rod Monroe demands a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Lori of Montes Anderson and Senator Joanne Berger. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant at arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney, all present.
All members are present. The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 574B. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will read the roll.
Berger.
No.
Walker.
No.
Whitsett.
No.
Winters.
No.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
No.
Bonamici.
No.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. 17 ayes.
Senate Bill 574B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 578, with alternate vehicle safety and declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 578 changes the name of the ATV Account Allocation Committee to the ATV Advisory Committee. The ATV Advisory Committee is directed to study the safety of ATVs and report its findings to the Legislative Assembly by December 1, 2010. The committee is staffed by the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department and is funded by the ATV account within the department. The Parks Department anticipates the fiscal impact of the committee to be minimal and can be absorbed within existing resources. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 578 as amended, and now I'm going to go off the pony. The brown sheet's called our pony. I have to read what's on the brown sheet, but I always go off the pony because I always color outside the lines. So let me just give you more information, because some of you may have gotten this pretty heated email from the Oregon Motorcycle Riders Association. I had to look them up and see who they were. They are an organization that was created in 1972 for off-road motorcycling and events. So they, let me address their concerns, because I think they're kind of not with us here on understanding what the bill does. First of all, the bill started out creating a task force. I hate task forces. I can't tell you how much I dislike task forces. So whenever I can turn something into something else than a task force, then I feel better. They wanted a task force about, or the ATV community wanted a task force about safety and the ever-changing requirements and definitions of these Class 1 and Class 2 ATVs. And I said, well, why do you have a task force? Why not have an advisory committee that's permanently in statute, like we do for motorcycles, the governor's advisory committee on motorcycle safety? So they liked that idea, I liked that idea, went out and did that. And so now we have a permanent advisory committee in statute, which makes a whole lot more sense. So the next objection is that, wow, we're not having six members on the committee, we're only having four. Well, that's on the advisory committee. The subcommittee still has an overwhelming number of ATV folks, and you'll find that in on page 3 of your bill. Let me tell you what section. Section 2, sub 5A. A subcommittee shall be established consisting of the following voting members. And if you read through that list, it's all ATV people except for one, a law enforcement agency. The subcommittee shall review the grant proposals and make recommendations to the commission as to which project should receive grant funding. So they still have control over the allocation of the account. So that argument goes away because the subcommittee their proposals must be affirmed by a vote of at least three members of the subcommittee. So I really see their argument there as not valid. Also, the other concern was that they wanted the state police to only stay within an ATV area to bust these people. Well, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. We need their ability to bust these people and ticket them for doing activities outside the ATV area, which sometimes they do. So I think that's appropriate. I think it's an appropriate use of the fund. I think we have met all their objections. And to say that no one from the ATV community participated in the drafting of this bill is also not true. And we also had testimony in the subcommittee, and I'm sure there was testimony in the policy committee, from the ATV community. So, colleagues, this is really a good bill. I think we've made it a better bill. We give them permanent standing in statute to address their ongoing concerns. So I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Madam President. And I thank the good senator from Eugene for addressing the concerns of the Motorcycle Riders Association and the ATV Association. She is on point with her comments. The larger issue, though, that I would like to address for just a moment is the fact that there is a tremendous amount of politics that is behind these bills that is not addressed in the politics of the Oregon State Senate. Let me be specific. The Department of Parks has had a longstanding feud with this particular organization as it relates to their license fees. And every session, usually by administrative rule or by decision, those fees come up to, should those fees stay with those clubs? Should the fees actually go to where they are spent? Should those fees actually be spent in Southern Oregon on a piece of property called John's Peak? Or should they be taken away? And the concern that is really behind the politics, not in this bill, but in the larger issue, is by doing a name change and have permanent standing, will the funds actually get to the account for them to be able to manage? Or will the Department of Parks actually commingle the funds? Will they actually touch the money? Will they actually play games with it? Case in point was at the beginning of session, there was a parks meeting here in Salem. And there was a grant proposal written that was going to use some of these funds. And the Motorcycle Riders Associations did what they did. They rallied support locally in Southern Oregon. They brought up they brought folks together, and they jumped in Suburbans, and they jumped in vans, and they came up here, and they stayed in a hotel. Everything was wired. They had the blessing of the BLM, which was something that the Parks Department asked them to do. They had the blessing of the local communities. They had the blessing of the county and all of the adjoining, most of the adjoining municipalities that butted up against the property that they were trying to acquire. Everything was wired. And the Parks Department made this crazy executive ruling that essentially took 18 months of their work and threw it away because it wasn't politically viable. Politics played more of a decision than actually the statute reads. And so I do believe that they have every right to be paranoid and to be concerned. I don't believe that this bill satisfies them and satisfies their discomfort with having their funds either pirated or commingled. I do believe that this bill says that if the funds are actually in the account, that they can actually make decisions. but I believe that the 900-pound gorilla here still remains the Commission on Parks, who, if they don't like ATV riders, if they don't like motorcycle riders, can make their life difficult. I will say, as a person that does not ride a motorcycle but does ride mountain bikes, I do ride in this particular area, and I will tell you that at least in terms of the Southern Oregon Club that Dr. Bates now represents, the club has done a fantastic job on conservation, has done a fantastic job on trail maintenance, and has actually done a huge favor to the community as it relates to fire protection. These have turned out to be fantastic neighbors who have taken care of the resource. And so while that may not be, and I wish it were, duplicated all across the state of Oregon, the experience that I have in Southern Oregon suggests that these people do deserve to be trusted with their money. They are good partners to have, and their money that they pay into on their license fees should not have political games played with it with an unelected commission. Those are my concerns. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, recognize Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam President. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
I do.
She will.
Thank you. I want to make sure that we have clarity on this bill, because I believe this is a good bill and does exactly what you said it would do. Prior to enacting this bill, I believe that the all-terrain vehicle at that time committee, not advisory committee, advised the State Parks and Recreation Department allocation of monies from the all-terrain vehicle account. Is that correct?
Senator, that is correct.
And all this bill does is move that
additional
advice.
Additional question?
Further question?
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
She does.
Sorry, ma'am. And this bill now takes that advice committee and moves it into a subcommittee that still makes the same advisory recommendations to Parks and Recs. Is that correct?
That is correct, Senator.
Another question, please.
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
She will. She does.
Is it also true that there has been a steady increase in the number of deaths and injuries in all-terrain vehicles over the last few years in the state and across the nation?
Yes, Senator, that is correct. That is why there was a bill last session on ATV safety, and that is why folks continue to be concerned and why this task force was created.
Thank you. Thank you to the carrier. To the bill?
To the bill.
I do represent a part of the state in which all-terrain vehicles are used extensively and which are very popular. We have two areas of the state, one in Prospects and one in an area called Johns Peak, which are maintained by the funds from this account, and maintained in a very good way. They take good care of the environment. They limit the area the ATVs are in, and I want to see those programs continued and those programs supported. And I believe this bill still does that. There has been a push and shove between Parks and Recs in this for a long time, as the good senator from Grants Pass has noted. But I believe this allows actually a better dialogue between the two of them and will maintain a good dialogue. The issue of safety is an increasing one with ATVs, and I think this is a good way to handle it. The industry and the users have come together to say we need to look at safety issues, especially for children and young adults, and I think it's a good bill to do so. So I'm going to support this bill today on the floor and support it in the future with the hope that this feud can be ended, people can work together, people who enjoy using ATVs in our multiple-purpose forest should be allowed to do so. Albeit in certain restricted areas. Thank you.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Madam President, and I rise in support of Senate Bill 578. I want to thank the good co-chair of the Subcommittee of Ways and Means that dealt with this issue. She is a spot on. As you know, we originally had a task force to deal with Class 1 and Class 2 vehicles with some of the safety issues that we talked earlier, and what is Class 1, what is Class 2. They change, they're confusing, and it made a lot of sense. Well, let's get everyone together and be able to look at how these vehicles have evolved and so they properly are in the right category. What Senator Walker did, which was absolutely right, says, well, they're going to continue to evolve. Let's don't do a task force. Let's make sure we have an ongoing ATV group to be able to look at this as time goes on, and since there already was one in the allocation committee, I think it made a lot of sense rather than to duplicate that. I think she did a great job on that. I think as Senator Bates pointed out, the allocation of money doesn't change at all. It's the same as it was originally. This bill was brought to us by the president of the Oregon Recreation Coalition, who worked through this with this entire coalition. Senator Atkinson had pointed out some of the issues with concern about parks. I won't dispute that at all, but this bill doesn't change that at all. There's no change in that situation. But hopefully, maybe with additional members now of this coalition, as far as the committee is concerned, on an ongoing basis, we'll be able to address some of those types of issues. But in terms of the language of the bill, this does not change that one way or another. But as we get all these different types of vehicles, it makes a lot of sense for those people that are most intimately involved to be able to make sure that these different types of vehicles are, in fact, put in the right classifications on an ongoing basis. And I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any further discussion? If not, Senator Walker, do you wish to close?
Madam Chair, that I appreciate the comments that have been made today. I'm not aware of all the politics behind this. I'm shocked to learn there are politics. There's politics about everything. And I actually think this will serve the ATV community much better to be formally recognized in statute. We still provide them with that ability to direct the funds, which I think is a great idea. We preserve that. I think folks have really done a good job, and I do hope there's a better relationship with the Parks Department if indeed there has not been a good one. I don't think that's any reason to vote no on this bill, however, and I would urge an aye vote today, and I'm going to have to ask for a call of the Senate on this one. Thank you.
Senator Walker demands a call of the Senate. She is joined by Senator Bates and Senator Manus Anderson. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney. All here.
All members are present. The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 578. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Whitsett, 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 578, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, the bills remaining on today's third reading calendar will be carried over to their proper place on tomorrow's third reading calendar. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Rick Metzger, you're in the queue. For what purpose do you rise?
Would like to return to remonstrances for a brief moment.
Senator Metzger requests unanimous consent to return to the order of remonstrances without objection. Please go ahead.
Colleagues, not too long ago, this body, this legislature, passed legislation to say we would not comply with the rest of the Real ID Act because of privacy issues, that we have done our part in making sure that we have a secure driver's license, but we don't want to share data with other states and put our citizens' privacy at risk. You know, note that yesterday a half dozen U.S. senators introduced legislation to repeal the Real ID Act and instead conform to what many other states have done, including Oregon, and that is having a secure driver's license, but not, I repeat, not sharing information of private citizens with each other through a federal database. Interestingly enough, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano has stated yesterday that this new bill is, quote, a cost-effective, common-sense solution that balances critical security requirements with the input and practical needs of state governments. I think that's code for the federal government realizing that all these states that have taken our action have done the right thing, that we need secure driver's licenses, but we don't need to invade the privacy. And I think this is a good sign that our actions have had a voice in Washington, and the rest of this egregious act that violates our personal rights will, in fact, be overturned. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator, for the remonstrances. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 5004, Veterans Administration, State Commission on Children and Families.
Message from the House.
Madam President, the House has passed. House Bills 5004, 5014, 5022, 5032, 5040, 5049, 5050, 2571, Senate Bills 596, 5525, 5526. Refused concurrence amendments on House Bills 2604 and 3271. Conference committees to be announced. Adopted conference committee reported repassed. House Bill 2175. House Bill 2604, Greenlick Chair Bruin and Harker appointed to House conferees. House Bill 3271, Barker Chair Olson and Stiegler appointed to House conferees. House Senate Bill 274, Garrett and Krieger and Stiegler appointed House conferees.
First reading of House measures.
House Bill 5004, Administration State Commission on Children and Families, Preparing Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5014, Financial Administration State Department of Fish and Wildlife, Preparing Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5022, French Administration, Department of Justice, Appropriate Money and Declare Emergency. House Bill 5032, Related French Administration, OHSU, Appropriate Money and Declare Emergency. House Bill 5040, French Administration, Public Defense Services Commission, Appropriate Money and Declare Emergency. House Bill 5049, French Administration, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and Declare Emergency. House Bill 5050, Related French Administration, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and Declare Emergency. House Bill 2571, Related to Veterans Educational Benefits, Declare Emergency.
Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2134, and a little bit of paying activities and appropriate money. House Bill 2339, relating to exemptions from disclosure of information. House Bill 3153, relating to utility facilities.
Pass to calendar. Third reading. Actually, we've carried over the third readings. Without objection, the House measures on today's third reading calendar are carried over to their proper place on tomorrow's third reading calendar. Without objection, so ordered. Senator George, you are in the queue and you're recognized. For what purpose do you rise?
Madam President, personal question of personal privilege.
State your question.
Thank you, Madam President. A few minutes ago, I was sitting over talking with the good senator from Senate District 13. We were discussing the fact that there was the budget for the governor on the floor, which flows into after the election. And we were trying to figure out, we have the understanding that the future governor of the state is going to be from this floor, and we couldn't figure out why there wasn't more people who declared potential conflicts of interest. So I have no conflict, Madam President.
Yeah. Other business of I have this one. Other business of the Senate. Announcements. The President has appointed the following conferees to House Bill 3039, Senator Metzger, Senator George, and Senator Dingfelder. Further announcements. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam President. Republicans will caucus over the noon hour, so please get your lunches and go immediately to the caucus room. Thank you.
Further announcement, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, to our few colleagues left on the floor, Senate Democrats will get their lunch and be in caucus at 12:30.
Further announcements, Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam President. You and the other Senate Finance and Revenue Committee members will meet at 1:15.
Further announcements. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, And please take note of this time. The Senate is adjourned until 1 p.m. Friday, June 19th. Senate is adjourned.